Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to this week's yearly cycle updates. Today, as I'm recording this, we are actually starting the Feast of Purim. And Purim is a reminder for us. It's an annual reminder of how quickly God can turn the tables on our situations. And it's also a reminder for us that Jesus turned the tables, bringing in a new covenant of grace that overrides the old covenant. Now, the typical tradition in the Jewish culture on Purim is to fast during the daylight hours on the day of Purim and then to feast in the evening. This is symbolic of how quickly God can take us from fasting to feasting. Now, the story of Purim comes from the book of Esther. In the book of Esther, Haman convinces the king to write a law or to make a decree that was going to wipe out the Jewish people. It was going to destroy the Jewish people. And in those days, once a law was written, it could not be undone. And so Esther and Mordecai represent the Jewish people, and Mordecai has Esther go in before the king and ask him to write a new law that would override the old law. So the law couldn't be undone. So they asked the king to write a new law that overrides this first law. It supersedes it. It sits above it. And an interesting thing happens. When Esther and Mordecai ask the king to write this new law, the king actually tells them, he says, "You write whatever you want and seal it in my name. You write whatever you want and seal it in my name." Well, Esther and Mordecai write this new law that turns the tables and puts the Jewish people back in control. They have the right to attack anybody that attacks them. And it turned from a day of fasting to a day of feasting, to a time of joy. What was meant to harm the people turned into something that was a joyous occasion. Now, this is all, Purim is all symbolic, I believe, of Jesus. God put into place the old covenant. He put into place the law. And it used to be that to be right with God, we had to follow the law. There were 613 laws that had to be followed, and it was impossible to keep. The Bible tells us that God made it so hard to keep that the people were constantly walking around with fear and condemnation, a guilty conscience, and it was oppressing them. They could not keep it. Why did God do it that way? Because to show us our need for a Savior. And then Jesus came and he brings this new covenant of grace. He said, "I did not come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill it." He came and fulfilled that standard. And he brought us this new covenant of grace that doesn't get rid of the law. Just like the law in the time of Esther could not be done away with. Jesus came in to bring in something better that supersedes, that overrides the Old Testament, overrides the law, and it sits above it. He brought us this new covenant of grace. And not only that, in this new covenant of grace, Jesus says the same thing that the king said to Esther and Mordecai. "You ask for whatever you want in my name and seal it in my name. Ask for it in my name and God will do it." That's this new covenant of grace. What is this new covenant of grace? It turns the tables. Because if we were not right with God under the old covenant, we messed up. We didn't follow the law perfectly. God was against us. And now we have this new covenant of grace that simply by believing in Jesus, God is for us. He's given us access into everything that he has. He's given us access to his presence, his wisdom, his understanding, his power, his love, his grace, his peace, his joy, his righteousness, his energy, his health, his time, his finances. He's given us access into everything that he has. And he says, "I will be an enemy to your enemies." That was the promise given to the people in the Old Testament when they were right with God. "I will be an enemy to your enemies." This Feast of Purim is a reminder that Jesus turned the tables. He brought in this new covenant, this new agreement, this new covenant of grace. He turned the table. He says, "You ask for anything in my name." And now God is continually working for our good. This is an amazing thing when we think about it. Now think about this. The idea of we could ask for anything we want in the name of Jesus, sealing it in his name. What's the right thing to ask for? This is a question I began to seek for. Because you see these movies where people have magic wishes with the genie and things like this. And usually their first few wishes usually just make their lives worse. And God's not some magic genie in a bottle. But what I've learned after a lot of seeking is one of the most powerful things I believe that we can ask for, we can ask God for consistently, is ask him to help us to access this grace that he's given us. Help us to learn more about it, to walk in it, to access it, to see it flowing in our lives. And then the other big thing I think to be asking for is for him to help us be doing according to his purpose and grace what we're supposed to be doing, to be doing what is right and best in his eyes. God, you're working for me. You're an enemy to my enemies. You're working for me. You're trying to work for my good consistently. Help me do today. Help empower me through your grace to be doing today what you say is right, to be doing what you say is best, because I'm going to trust that if I'm doing that, that you're going to take care of me. You're on my side. You're going to be helping me. And that's the right thing to be doing. If I'm consistently doing that over time, it's going to lead me, my life, hopefully to a beautiful place. I'm going to walk out God's plans and purposes for me. One of the verses we use, I believe it's in Timothy, says, according to God's purpose and grace that was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. I want to be walking out that plan. That's what I want to be doing today. And so Purim is a reminder of this. Jesus turned the tables, gave us this new covenant of grace. We can ask for anything in his name. And I think the number one thing to ask for is to be doing what God says we should be doing, to be doing what's right and best according to his purpose and grace that he's given us in Christ. Now, in our program, The Abundant Life Blueprint, we talk quite a bit about this concept of table turners. And one of the things we talk about is every area of life has table turners, things that turn the tables and put you back in control. And for example, in the area of finances, partnership is one of the most powerful principles that can turn the tables financially. Number one, bringing God into your finances as your financial partner, getting him on your side financially, and then getting into agreement and into partnership with your spouse around the area of finances, and then partnering around a common vision with other people is the financial table turner. Now, every area of life has table turners, but the one most important table turner that I've learned, the number one thing, is taking communion on a regular basis. Taking communion on a regular basis. We take it every night in our house. Taking communion on a regular basis helps to keep our minds fixed on this idea of Jesus as the table turner. When I take that bread, I'm visualizing that the cup of God's wrath was poured onto the body of Jesus. And then as I take that cup, I have a reminder of my new covenant of grace that Jesus turned the tables and God is now continually working for my good. And I have a reminder of that in communion. If this training on Purim has been helpful for you, you can learn more about our yearly cycle updates at theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.